come up and get your hand out there to track along in the sermon. But we've got a couple of ones who have gotten themselves a coin. Abigail Del Val and Nolan. It just says Nolan. Ah, Abigail, there we go. All right. Good job. Oh, man. And where's Nolan? Is Nolan here? Ah, there we go. Come on up, Nolan. Now, kids, come on up. Don't forget to get another one. You guys can get a coin. There we go. Oh, ah, didn't even. All right. Good job. Good job. So anybody who wants to get a coin from Israel, come on up and get one of these handouts. You can follow along in the sermon. I'll have some other coins to pass out as well in the future. But just come on up and grab one. Don't be shy. This morning, we're continuing on in our story about Joseph. Now, Joseph's one of my favorite characters. Yeah, come on up, Abigail. You can win again. Joseph's one of my favorite characters. And one of the things that Joseph showed throughout his life was integrity. Integrity is something that we have our society, especially when it comes to sometimes our leadership and things like that, seem to lack integrity. Amen? And it has a difficulty just seeing a lot of it. We make a lot of excuses for lack of integrity. There you go. Go ahead and grab one. Come on up, kids. There, grab another one if you like. And within the context of the story of Joseph, well, let's just lay out the context here. This is where we left Joseph. Now, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now, let's just, again, put Joseph in context of his life, because so many things that happen is in the context of his life. Come on up. Is in the context of our lives. Joseph was the favorite son of a rich, wealthy, prosperous man. Okay? He was given a special coat, a shiny, colorful coat of honor. He had his father's trust. He was a prophet of God through dreams. Remember, he had these dreams. As annoying as those dreams were to his brothers, were those dreams true and from the Lord? Yes. They were. Sometimes, folks, we need to understand is we may have a message from the Lord. It may be straight from God. It may be valid, and it may annoy others. Amen? Amen. It's always speak the truth, but sometimes let's try not to be so annoying. Amen? All right. And he was being set up to be the favored inheritor of Israel. And by Israel, I mean Jacob. And he was pampered, okay? Because he was the one that was home with his dad, with his mom, and then he would have, you know, the father would send him out to check on the boys, to check on the men. Now, this was Joseph's life. Before he got thrown into the pit and sold into slavery. Now, I just want to stop for a moment and think about that. If your life has been one of privilege, being pampered, being the special son, being the one that you had the father's trust, even the Lord was showing you dreams, and you have such a fall in your life that now you find yourself in a foreign land, not being pampered at all, not being showed any kind of preference at all. In fact, you're at the lowest of everyone in the land of Egypt because you are being sold as a slave. Now that's quite a fall. Amen. Now we see people that have falls in their life. And sometimes we have a bit of a fall. Sometimes we end up in the pit like we were talking about last Sabbath. Sometimes we have difficulties happen in our life. Now, the question is here, is not whether we're going to have a fall or whether it happened. Most of us do have some kind of a problem in our life. The question is, how do we handle it? Amen? I mean, folks, listen, I don't know about you, but we live in a sinful world. Have you noticed? Amen? Yeah, you can amen to the sinful world part. Because all around us, we see things that are trying to bring us down. We see things that are trying to, cut us down. And God calls us in, no matter what the situation we are in, to have integrity. And so he's a slave here in the land of Egypt. His brothers betrayed him. His cousins bought him. And then they sold him into slavery in a pagan land. Now, I'm just putting up a couple of pictures here of where they sold him. By the way, Egypt, when Joseph was sold into Egypt, the pyramids were there, the temples were there. It was a fully functioning civilization. And he is sold as a slave. Now, I've got to just kind of give you the context of their mindset back then. Now, they were polytheists in general. I'm not talking about Joseph here. I'm talking about the area of the world that they lived in. They were polytheists. And this is how their worldview was. This was all of them. Not talking about Joseph. Not talking about God's followers. I'm talking about the culture within the Mediterranean area, especially in Egypt, in Greece, and even in Canaan. Their polytheism was such that they believed that the gods were given different areas of the world to rule over, okay? So if you were living in the land of Canaan, your gods were from Canaan. If you were living in the land of Greece, your gods were from Greece. If you're living in the land of Egypt, your gods were the gods of the Egyptians. And so the gods were geographical. And so when two nations would go to war, it was not just who had the better army, who had the better tactics, or who was the one who had the better general, or who had the better king. The gods were going to war with one another, and whoever was victorious in their mindset had the better gods. Okay? You kind of get the mindset there. All right, they really didn't believe in this idea of that there was one God over the whole world. They felt that they were very regional. Now, if you were a slave in a foreign land, in their mindset, your God has failed you and allowed you to become a slave, and you've been sold into a foreign land, and the gods of those lands are much more powerful than the slave's god. Okay, do you understand? That's their mindset. So Joseph is not only sold to, just some small country, he's sold to the greatest civilization at that time. Egypt was the top of the pyramid, as it were. And so Joseph is surrounded by all of that beautiful architecture. He's surrounded by those temples. He's surrounded by everything. And he's surrounded by their gods in their culture. Okay? And so these were the gods of their... These are, by the way, they had gobs of different gods. In fact, when you look at the 10 plagues, and one of these days, well, I'll do a sermon on the plagues and things like that. Those 10 plagues were attacking the gods of Egypt and their power. The Egyptians were a very powerful people at that time. And so they had all of these different gods, and you can read them up there. They had Amun and Osiris and Isis and Horus and Anubis and Thoth and Hathor. You've actually heard of some of these gods, haven't you? That's how ancient this is, and that's how lasting some of these gods were at the time. And so I'm only bringing this up because Joseph is taken from a very small land, a rich man, pampered, and he's taken down into the greatest civilization at that time, and he is surrounded by paganism, opulence, and success because the nation of Egypt was very, very successful. And the one thing that we as human beings do is we like to see success. Amen? Hey, listen, somebody builds a building and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool, right? That's impressive. You get up there to some of those, you go into a big city, you look for the tallest building. I remember back when I was a kid, we were very, very proud that we had one of the taller buildings. You know, we had the tallest buildings in America, or we had this or that. It was kind of a competition. You know, who's got the best this or who's got the best that? And we still have that competition today. I think the tallest building is in Dubai or something like that. One of those. They wanted to build the tallest building. And by the way, they had that attitude back then too. You've got the pyramids. You've got all of these, the Sphinx. You've got all of these monuments to their gods. And Joseph is a slave coming into that situation. This is why Genesis chapter 39 hits hard. Verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, have you ever been tempted when you are in a rough spot in your life to think that the Lord is not with you? Don't have to answer that question. But you're going maybe through a divorce. Maybe you're going through a rough time in your business. Maybe you're going not things aren't going so well at work. Maybe you're thinking that life isn't, you know, you just aren't finding your theme in your life, maybe your work, what you want to do in your life, and you're feeling down and you get depressed. And the temptation is, and what the devil will do, is he'll come to you and say that God has abandoned you. Now let's put this in context. These stories are for us to learn how God works. Joseph is taken from his family, betrayed by his family, sold into slavery by his cousins, or grabbed by, you know, taken by his cousins, and then sold again to Potiphar. And the fact is, through all of that, God was still with him. Amen? That's the one thing that if you take nothing from this sermon at all today, other than that, take this one thing. It doesn't matter your circumstances, God is with you. Your circumstances do not determine God's presence. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he's in a highly ranked Egyptian. He's in his house. He's surrounded by paganism. And yet, within that context, God is still with him, and Joseph was with God. That's the beautiful thing about this situation here. Now, in order to understand this, you have to understand Joseph was doing a few things. Now, one of the things that we have an advantage today is that we all, either on our phones or on our shelves or in our hands, have the scripture with us. Amen? How much of the scripture had been written by the time in Joseph's day? The scripture that we have, how much of it had been written? How much? There's an answer. Zero. None of it. You know, and so many times we have these advantages of being able to just look to scripture, get encouragement from scripture. Joseph didn't even have that. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. Don't waste the advantages of having scripture at your fingertips, especially when you're going through a rough time. God has given you an advantage that Joseph didn't even have. But what Joseph was doing was he was praying, he was worshiping, and he was holding on to the Lord in spite of his circumstances, in spite of them. Now, verse 3, as the master saw, now notice what the master saw. As his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. Now, I want you to understand that this is some powerful text here. This is a powerful text. The master didn't see that Joseph was smart, which he was. The master didn't see that Joseph did everything right, which he did. The master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, that's a big difference between Joseph's smart, Joseph knows what he's doing, Joseph has talents. The master saw that the Lord was with him. Why? Because Joseph obviously told his master who the Lord was. Amen? That's what he was doing. He wasn't just saying, you know, he wasn't just living his life, you know, whatever. I guarantee you, he gets down there, and the master's telling him all about his gods. They're going to the temples. They're doing the rituals in the home. They're inviting the priests. This is a man. Joseph had to say within himself and to his master, you know what? You do you, but I have the Lord with me. He had to witness to Potiphar that he had the Lord with him in order for Potiphar to see that the Lord was with him. Amen? He separated himself from the paganism that surrounded him, held to his integrity, told those around him that he is a follower of the Lord God of Israel, the God of his fathers. And no matter what his circumstances were, he was going to follow that God into all circumstances in life. And because of that, Potiphar saw that. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So why was the Egyptian's house being blessed? Because Joseph was being faithful. Why is your house being blessed? Why are the people around you being blessed? Maybe it's because you're being faithful. Amen? You know, sometimes I know what it's like out there, folks. Sometimes you feel like you're alone. You feel like I'm the only one. I'm the only person that's being faithful to the Lord. My spouse or my family or my coworkers or there's all kinds of temptations around me. There's all kinds of fads and cultural things that want to pull me this way or that. Maybe the coworkers are saying, hey, let's go out and do this that you know you shouldn't be doing. Or maybe your family's trying to pull you this way. Or maybe your friends. You know, I've got a lot of friends from when I went to academy. And I'm going to do a little confessing here. I wasn't very spiritual in academy. Now, the beautiful thing about our academy and going to one of our schools, I went to Black Valley Academy in Shelton, Nebraska. And I had no time for the Lord in those days. I'm just going to be honest. And my friends had no time for the Lord in those days. Okay? And some of them still don't come to church. But I tell you what they do do. When they've got a problem, when there's an issue in their life, when they need prayer, guess who they call? Pastor Paul. And many of them couldn't believe I was going to be a pastor. You know, the biggest shock. When I was telling my friends I was going to be a pastor, it wasn't like, oh man, I knew you were going to do, sure, you do great. I got mouth open. What in the world? Why are you doing this? Can we get you some other place to, you know, what can I hire you to do something else? I've literally had friends ask me, that I went to academy with, ask me if they could get me a job doing something else. And it just didn't pay as well. This is no, trust me, there's some bigger pay out there. The thing is, folks, no matter where you're at, and those same, I'm thinking one in particular, and I'm not going to say who it is, but not only did he offer me a job or try to find me a job that was different because I was one of his good friends in academy and he wanted to go, you know, he didn't want me going down this path. Later on, after of course I said, no, that's fine, thank you though. Later on though, you know, when he's got trouble in his life, guess, who's he contacting? Who's he calling? Brothers and sisters, you're making an impact out there, whether you know it or not. And God is blessing not only you, but those people around you because of that impact that you're making, just like he did with Joseph. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of the house and all he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Amen? I love that part. Joseph was a good-looking kid. But he had integrity. And what this is saying is Potiphar trusted him so much that he didn't even know, he was not keeping up on the books. He wasn't auditing anything. He wasn't looking over Joseph's shoulder. Joseph was in charge of something. He let him be in charge of it. And he had integrity because, not because he had integrity, he had integrity because the Lord was with him. You see, folks, sometimes we get it upside down. We have to, well, I've got integrity, thus God's going to be with me. No, I have integrity because God is with me. That's the thing. God is calling us to have integrity, not because we just screw up our willpower and somehow we're going to have integrity and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. We have these character traits because God is with us. And his character is being reflected in our life. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And he said, lie with me. Apparently, she had some fibs that she wanted to tell to people. Wanted him to lie. Mixed group in here, you know. Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, I want to tell you something. There is something interesting here about the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis begins with the creation and ends with whose story? What's the last story? Joseph. Now, the thing about this is, now notice what's happening here. God puts Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he says, you have access to everything except one tree. You are in charge of it all except what? One tree. Joseph, Potiphar, had put Joseph in charge of what? Everything except his wife. One thing. One thing. You see, folks, sin is focusing on what you can't have instead of the blessings that God has given you. All right? That's what sin does. God gives us the whole world to play in, but I got to have that one thing that he says no. And so Joseph, where Adam and Eve failed, Joseph is by God's grace, because God is with him, succeeding. Because he's holding to that integrity. Brothers and sisters, God's not judging us on what everybody else sees. God judges us on what we do when no one's looking. Amen? Now, listen, and saying that, we fail all the time. We have issues all the time. We try and we do things behind closed doors that we shouldn't be doing. And God is gracious and merciful. But remember, God is trying to give you integrity because he's with you. And he can change you from the inside and out to out. So there is no one greater in his house and you are his wife. Now, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? Did I read that right? No, I did not. You see, when we are going after that one thing that we can't have, we're not sinning against Potiphar. We're not sinning against the tree or the devil or whoever. We are sinning against God. And this is where his integrity came from. Because he wasn't worried about what Potiphar's eyes were watching. He wasn't worried about that. He was understanding that it was God's eyes that was watching him. That's the thing. How can I do this and this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was that she spoke to Joseph day by day. She was persistent. And he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see what he has brought in to us, a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and I cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. All right. Who's accusing who here? This isn't about a man and woman thing. This is about status, folks. Potiphar's wife, what kind of status did she have in this world? Very high. What kind of status did Joseph have? Even though he was in charge of everything, he was still what? He was a slave. And as far as their culture would inform them, Potiphar's wife was to be believed and the slave was to be disregarded. That's what their culture would say. You know. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant who you brought to us came in to me and to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and I cried out, that he left his garment with me and he fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. I've read that over and over again, and I wonder who he was mad at. Now, the context, if you just read it, kind of, it's like, well, he was obviously mad at Joseph, but notice what he did. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. What could he have done to Joseph? If he really believed this whole story, if he really thought that this had happened, if he thought that if he hadn't watched Joseph have integrity in his whole household, if he hadn't seen that Joseph was a good man and the Lord was with him, if he hadn't had all of this experience with him and he had just come into a situation and his wife said, this dude, this slave, tried this with me, any man, Potiphar included, would have taken that slave and done exactly what he thought that slave deserved. And that was not to put him in prison. That would be to execute him and make an example of him. So I think in this situation, even though he had to follow what his wife, even though he may have believed what his wife said, God was with Joseph. And Potiphar, for whatever reason, whether he believed his wife or not, whether he believed Joseph or believed the wife, I'm not sure. But it tells me that he gave him a lesser sentence than this situation would have normally in that world have deserved. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the thing. Joseph, and we're going to be hitting it next week too about Joseph. Joseph, as a slave in Potiphar's house, was successful because the Lord was with him. Joseph was put in prison. It's a bad deal, but he wasn't executed because the Lord was with him. God was watching out for Joseph no matter his circumstances. And he had integrity because God was with him in those circumstances, and it showed. You see, folks, I know you've gotten the message, and I know you understand what I'm saying here this morning. But God, Joseph was faithful. Joseph was faithful. And that faithfulness to God, even in these dire situations, that faithfulness of God carried him through just an awful, awful, awful role as a slave. And that integrity that God gave him actually allowed him to rise above his situation so that everybody could see it. Even Potiphar could see it. And now we're going to, again, kind of stop here on a cliffhanger a little bit. Joseph is once again in trouble. Now, I want you to notice the progression here. He goes from favored son, sold as a slave, and now he's where? In prison. It's going down, down, down. Now, you'll see this pattern. And I'm just going to say this, as you read the Bible, you'll see this pattern. That so many times people are drugged down, 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 and then the Lord brings them up. And the beautiful miracle that we're about to see in Joseph's life, because he stayed faithful to the Lord in every circumstance, God remembered him and brought him out of there and saved him. And brothers and sisters, no matter where we are in our lives, God will listen, hear you, and bring you out of that circumstance and save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we just want to thank you so much for your presence. When we're having trouble in our life, you are there. When we're doing well in our life, you are there. When we're struggling with our relationships with others, you are there. When we're going out, when we're coming in, you are there. When we're down in the pit, when you're lifting us up, you are there. And Father, I pray that no matter where we find ourselves, we will see your presence, hear your voice, and have integrity because you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.